for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, August the 29th, 2008. C.R. Oliver is the speaker of this service, teaching on That's Right, Brother.
Wow, to minister after all of that, huh? I want to go hide and say, you know, well, enough, you've had enough. I know that the beautiful thing about that kind of ministry is that it's from the Lord. It's not rehearsed. It's not a thing, you know, that you hear every day either, is it? It's something that is rare because we're living in a time that really doesn't honor age and the amount of commitment that someone has put into the work of the Lord. And I know that my little experience of being in the presence of this brother, that we ought to honor him. I don't know if there are accolades, certificates, and all kinds of plaques and programs you could have for him. But I'd like for us to stand tonight and just give him a hand clap and thank him. Thank him. Just listen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is the one we honor.
Amen.
Lord, we just bless him with a long, long, long life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Anybody else who wants to talk can. Well, you've been up a little bit and down, you know, and got your blood circulation a little bit. You know, we had a little earthquake in the town we were living in several years ago. And they never had an earthquake before, so it was a brand new thing for them. And it wasn't a great big thing, it just boom, you know. And it looked like some sonic boom may have gone off or some seismic crew had done something, but it wasn't. The plates were shifting and all of a sudden, boom. And so the television cameras were there and afterwards they were trying to figure out if anybody had survived this great earthquake and who would talk. And of course, you know, no one with any intelligence is going to answer the call of the local news agency. Only the town idiot is going to be able to speak anything. And so the town idiot was the one interviewed. And they asked him, you know, well, what did you think of when this earthquake was going on? And he said, I was in the shower and everything went around like this. Well, you heard his side of the situation. Now I want to tell you that I was in the tub 10 days ago. And I was just soaking there, enjoying that tub. And the Holy Spirit began to move over me and speak to my heart. And he said, I want you to get out of this tub and I want you to write on your computers right out. You just left the computer short time before. I want you to write down just a series of things that I tell you in the way that I'm telling you. So I hurriedly and dried off and put on my pajamas and went in my study. And I pulled up a Word document and I began to write some things. When I got through with them, I was sort of weeping. And I said, Lord, how you want to catalog this? What's this for? And he said, put in a folder and call it The Message for the Folks at Lake Hamilton Camp. Well, I didn't know that I would be invited until night before last. And I thought, no, Lord, I really don't want to do this. I want to relax and enjoy and resort and be altogether pampered by my beloved friends here. And here I am. And I'm having to follow this saint of God. And I've been thinking and thinking and thinking because of all the people in the world who do not desire to fill your pulpit. Here's one. Of all the people in the world who know what a special assignment looks like, here's one. Because sometimes the Lord uses me as a spiritual assassin to take someone out, and sometimes He uses me as the procurer of great treasures to bring and just give and bless. So I know what special assignments are. And I know that He knew 10 days ago who would be here on this particular night. And He knew your heart. And early this morning He said to me, I've brought my special people together tonight. They are my people and they are of a great heart. I think I said that to some of you. And you are the people of tender-heartedness and compassion. Now you know you better than I know you. I don't know any of you. But He said, of the least of them, I don't want you to offend not one of those who are here tonight. So I know I've got to be real careful. So I want you to make me a little pledge. Will you do it? Repeat after me. I will not be offended by whatever He says. Thank you for making that confession. Will we do it again because I didn't believe you the first time? Are you ready? I will not be offended by whatever He says. Because you see, the Lord gave me a question for you. And then He gave me 10 probable answers that you and I could agree upon. And even if we disagree, I want you to repeat these words now after every time I give one of the solutions to the question. I want you to say, that's right, brother. Okay, you got it down, but one more time. That's right, brother. Now, you don't even know what you're assigning yourself to, but you're a gracious people. Now, there's another thing the Lord told me this morning. As you were praying over here, we were praying over there. He said, I want these people to just stand. And before you tell them what I told you, I want you to tell them something. And I want them to do something. So would you stand and just humor me? You already have a lot. I want you to get holy. Whatever it takes to get holy. Okay. Because He said, I'm not going to share this with an unholy people. And I'm not going to share this with anybody that is not holy and real pure on the inside of their heart. And you know how John says to do this? He said, build up your faith by what? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? Your most high self comes when we pray in the Holy Ghost. Can we pray a little bit in the Holy Ghost? Can we just do that right now? Oh, we lift up holy hands. Oh, be ye holy, even as I am holy, saith the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Out of that holiness, He ministers. Will you minister to the person next to you? Would you just look at them and come turn to them and just say, I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. I want to lay holy hands on you. I want to give you a holy kiss. Maybe it's been a while since you had a holy kiss. You just have a holy kiss. The Holy Ghost knows that we need that ministry. Praise the Lord. Oh, you can get yourself ready now not to be offended by anything I say. Just bless you. I ministered a lot down in South America. I almost said Podes in Tarse. I'm sorry. Which means please be sit down, you know. But, you know, I know what a special assignment is. I was down in Santiago, Chile, and there's about some of the same things happening, you know, because I'm used to being put on the program at the last minute. I'm down in Santiago, and I'm riding through the streets of Santiago with the pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Santiago, Dr. Pereira. He's also the professor of theology at the Baptist Seminary in Santiago, Chile. And here I am, and for a whole week, for 8 solid days, I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to be the evangelist. So I'm enjoying, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, what joy it is to be down here in Santiago, Chile, in these streets, and man, and for blessing of the Lord, because it's fall back there, and it's spring here, and there's more pollen than you can imagine. As I'm riding along, the Spirit says to me, He just talks to me. You know, the Spirit talks to me. I do pray the Holy Spirit talks to you too. He sure wants to. And He said, you'll be at the seminary. You'll be teaching. You'll be speaking at the seminary. And so I just kind of took the thing, you know, by the bull by the horns, you know how it was. And I said, Dr. Pereira, I'd like to go to the theological school here sometime during this week. And he, of course, immediately took the negative approach to it by saying, well, brother, I know we ordinarily like people like yourself to speak, but I happen to know that the chapel programs are all taken during this particular series of times and that there's not an opening. And what day, though, would you like to come and visit? And I started to say Tuesday, but then the Spirit stopped me and said Thursday. So I said, okay, Thursday. We'll just go and visit. But if something should happen to any of the speakers, I'll be ready. I'll be willing. You know, I'd just, you know, I'd fit in if, you know, how it is. Because I really volunteered myself. And I didn't know what I was getting into when I volunteered myself. Because you see, on Thursday they were going to have a strike, and the communists were putting out a tremendous effort to slow down the city, and usually people died during this, and there were shooting in the streets and burning tires, and the university students went berserk, and I didn't know those things, you see, I wasn't on the list. Those in the know. I'm not going to try to drag this out. I'm just going to tell you something. On Thursday morning, I'm sitting here having breakfast with about, probably 50 other ministers who are ministering in various churches and locations around this area, all the way down to Viña del Mar and places like that. And all of them had decided, you see, to stay in that night, not even preach that night, because all but two guys, myself and one other, because we prayed and we knew in the Holy Ghost that it's all right. Now it's Thursday morning, and I'm having my breakfast and everybody's chatting, and I see this little guy with this nicely coiffured pole, and on the top of a little chalkboard, and it says, Señor Olivero Telefono. And he's going around a little bell, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And I look up from my eggs and I see this sign that has my name on it. And so I say, I raise my hand and he comes over and he takes me to the telephone in the lobby. And here's the president of the seminary saying, Brother Oliver, I've never met you, but Dr. Pereiro said that you might be available to speak at the last minute. And I said, oh, yes, I think that's true. He said, well, the man we were having to come, he's a professor, but he lives in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and he was going to take a short flight over the mountains and be here for the meeting today, but his plane is socked in. And now we know that there, even if it lifted, there's no way he could be here, so would you please come and deliver the message? Well, I've written a book called The Sons of Zadok now, but then I had not written it. The Lord had put that holy, gotta watch that, holy within the grasp, my grasp, the 44th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And he had told me, when I was writing with Dr. Pereira on Sunday afternoon, speak on the sons of Zadok. Let them know that there's a difference between ministering to people and ministering to God. And press upon them the necessity of keeping things holy and pure and undefiled and walking in holiness. And so, I knew that everything I was saying is going to have to be translated into Spanish. So, I tried to make that thing as concise as possible. And here I am, I'm ushered into a wonderful chapel with about 400 students. And I began to preach, and the Holy Ghost of God begins to move on me. And I'm standing before, and I said, there's a difference between standing before the people and ministering to the people and ministering to God so that they see your back, not your front. And I began to tell them about how to maintain holiness and walk in holiness. It is a tough message up there. I really delivered that thing. I preached that thing just as hard and as solid as I could get it. And I didn't ask for any waivers either, you know. Then it came, you could hear a pin drop. And then I just sat down came off the pulpit and sat down on the front row. And silence. And the guy that was my interpreter, he didn't say anything either. Just dead silence. You know, people don't like dead silence. I mean, they like to fill it up with something. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Lord. And nobody moves. I thought, wow, have I killed them? No, you know. And then I can hear a sob. Perdóname, mi pecadores en mi corazón. Forgive me the sins of my heart. And someone just starts babbling, and you know, in Spanish, faster than I can pick it up. But I know something is going on. And it's just quiet. Then I hear another voice. And the same phrase from another voice. And then a third. In the seminary. And then the interpreter says, today we witnessed the fearful, awesome presence of God doing a mighty work. Now he's talking in Spanish. And I found out that there were three guys in the theological school that the night before, at 11 o'clock, the regents met, three of them with the president. And they said, these three boys have cheated and stolen from the seminary, and we will have to, after the chapel program, remove them and ruin their lives as ministers. But we cannot tolerate it. Dr. Pereira didn't know that. I didn't know that. No one knew that. But God knew that. And when these three got up and volitionally confessed their sins and asked for forgiveness before the whole theological school, the president of the theological school said, no one knew about this but us four and those three. And this is a miracle of God. You know what I call it? Deliverance. And one of the theological professors, he said, man, I want to see you a minute. This is after everybody's starting to leave. And he said, never in 15 years have I heard a man preach like that. I want, what have you got? And I said, let me sit down and tell you about how to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It'll cost you your job here at the Baptist school. He said, I don't care what it costs. I want it, and I want it now. And he got it now. And the Spirit of God moved on him. And things are not the same in Santiago. Hallelujah. I know what a special assignment looks like. And I know that when I'm laying in the tub and the Holy Ghost comes over me and says, go to that computer and write this down in rapid fire order, I want the people there to know exactly what I'm concerned about. See, I know what it is. You do too. You got these stories. You know the intervening power of God. Here I am in Seoul, Korea. And the Lord wakes me up in the morning about 5:15, and man, it's Wednesday, and we got to finish out here and go on to Busan, and he interrupts my snoozy time, you know, and he says, write these three questions. And Mark 9, and he says, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And I said, what on earth am I going to do with those three questions? He said, just put them in your pocket. Save it. Well, I'm over into the next week now. I'm down in Busan. And I'm with a group of guys, and we're ministering out there. And they ask in the General Assembly that morning on Saturday morning, how many of you have nothing to do? You don't have anything on your agenda for this afternoon? One hand went up. Guess whose? Mine. I said, no, this afternoon is the only afternoon I plan to have off. I was going to shop. They said, well, we've got an opening that we've got to fill. We've got a request for the Songdo High School. It's a military school. There are about 3,000 young people in that school. And we need someone to speak. Well, I've been, you know, in education. So I knew. I'm beginning to see you a little. So here I am. I look like Adolf Hitler almost up there on a balcony, you know, and down here all these cadets, and they're in black uniforms and they're standing at attention, and it's the afternoon sun and perspiring, you know, running down. And I say to the commandant, is it possible that they could go to at ease? And he speaks out something in Korean, and they go like this, and then he speaks something else out, and they all go down on their knees. And if I ever did that, I'd never get back up. So I'm not going to show you that. But they're sitting on their heels out here, all of them. And I tell them that they have only three questions they need to ask in life. And I give them those three questions. And then I ask how many of them want to know this Lord Jesus that we've been talking about. And well over half of them make a response until we're there until 6:30 in the evening giving out more about the gospel of Jesus. Now 38% of the Korean military know Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. I know what a special assignment is. You do too, don't you? Yeah. You see, you're looking at a guy that is sort of unusual in this respect, because if you were to say to me, would you come and preach in my pulpit, I would tell you no. That's my first and most solid answer. No. Everybody scrambles around trying to find a place to preach. I scramble around trying to hide. It's the truth. Thanks, Brother Jim. I'm over at my house, you know, and two fellas come up, a pastor and one of the leaders of a church, and they say, would you come to Bentonville? And I said, no. I never met them in my life. They just came at 10 o'clock in the morning and wanted to see me. Drove all the way down, you see, to see me near Houston. And I tell them, no, let's go out to lunch. I mean, I'd be glad to talk to you and all that sort of thing. But no, I'm not interested in doing that. And the second time, he said, come, you must come. No, I said. Three times I said no. And then he calls me on the phone a week later, and he says, you have to come. And the Lord said, look out. I'm mowing the grass. Da, 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 da. Thursday. The Holy Ghost begins to say, I begin to speak out in tongues, and I'm telling you, a message begins to pour out on the inside of me. I stopped my mower, and I began to preach a message of judgment. You can't believe the things that were coming out of my mouth and pouring out about Bentonville and about this particular congregation. And brother, I want you to know, I said, God, I won't remember that. He said, you don't have to. Send it in the Spirit now. Wow, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah? Well, another week goes by, and on Thursday, that's my lawn mowing day. I'm mowing my grass. I get about the same spot, and I get poured upon by the Spirit of God. I mean, a message pours out. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that message, but it's there. Send it forth. Now, the reason is yet to be known. Because I said, Lord, I want to have a message for these people. I've got to go from there over to Oklahoma, because we've got a big meeting in Oklahoma. And I've kind of just added these folks on to that. Not because I wanted to. You know what the Lord told me? Take a plumb line out of your garage, that old bricklayer's plumb line. Pick up one of those clamps that's got a little hole in it. You'll see it. Go ahead and put the knot in there. And that Lucite pulpit, you know, I hadn't been in that church. I hadn't been around that part of the world. He said, the Lucite pulpit, you clamp that thing on there. And then you put your big set of keys in your pocket. I said, why? I'm not, you know, I don't need them. Said, put the big set of keys in your pocket. All right. And then get ready. I thought, for what? And I honestly went and began the opening service not knowing any more than that. I began to preach on the plumb line. And how God had made a line of demarcation. And as I preached, it became more and more evident in my spirit that I was dealing with a rebellious congregation. And the Lord said, it's now, reach in there. And I got that big set of keys. And I said, the Lord gave you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you loose would be loosed in earth and in heaven, and whatever you bound would be bound on earth and in heaven. But I hadn't heard any locks rattling and no chains falling. What's the matter with you? Ooh. Get ready. You're a charismatic church. You say you speak in tongues. You minister in all of the gifts. Now let us minister to one another. You know, I stood to watch. And several couples just got up and left rather than minister. Churches need deliverance. Whole congregations need deliverance. I mean, they need deliverance, brother. They need what's being preached here, what you preached this very, very evening. They needed that right there. I'm telling you, there were more demons in the congregation than there was pastor in the pulpit. I want you to know I wasn't ready for that. And I want you to know that what tonight's going to be said tonight has a relationship to that very thing right there. Because the question, you want to know the question? Who wants to know the question that God gave me in the bathtub? The question, how have we gotten where we have gotten now? How have we gotten where we have gotten now? Why, if the early church is the ideal and the model, in that church full of the Holy Ghost and power is the standard, the A440. It is the sunum bonum. It is the guidepost. If it's the standard by which we're to be measured, why are we looking up all the time and they're so distant from us because we're in the hole we've dug? Why aren't we standing equal with them? Why aren't demons moving in our presence? And why are there not 3,000 and 5,000 at a time coming before the Lord? What is the matter? What have we done to get here? I preached a message one time up in Colorado. How in the world did we wind up with Jim and Tammy? I tell you, my friends, I could spend hours talking to you about the places God has allowed me to go. And the messes I've seen them in. I could take you to Costa Rica and the Barrio de Osari, and I could tell you that the pastor was a communist. And he was a teacher in the theological school of liberation theology, and his doctrine was being poured into the lives of young preachers to the point he was poisoning literally thousands of young men. And the missionaries and the pastors wouldn't even talk to them. And God sent me to that church. And right the time I got to the pulpit with my little sermons and sermonettes and all my good things I wanted to preach, and I could preach to you some stuff, oh, you'd come out of here rejoicing and you'd say, oh, Lord, it's revelation, hallelujah. But now, you see, the Lord gave me this thing for you, and I've got to deliver it. I don't have a choice. I don't even have an option. There's no option. There's no way out. I've already started. You understand what I'm saying to you. I want you to know that when that man heard 1 John, that's what God told me to preach on. 5 minutes while I'm standing out there with the choir, 5 minutes in this large church, he says, 1 John. I said, I didn't practice 1 John. I hadn't thought about 1 John. I'm not even sure there is a... No, I didn't. You understand. I was trying every way in the world to get back on my keel. But God doesn't use an even keel. He uses a sword that's two-edged. And he said, you do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, as I tell you to do it, for as long as I tell you to do it, and that's the definition of ministry. There is no other definition. Some people say, well, you're in the ministry. What church do you have? I said, I'm in the ministry. Which rabbi of redefinition has made your dictionary read otherwise? You say, the rabbi of redefinition, I tell you, that's what's happened. They've redefined salvation, they've redefined grace, they've redefined faith, they've redefined what it is to walk with God, they've redefined almost every aspect of Christianity and the walk in the Spirit, and their redefinitions are going to be corrected. The Holy Ghost says, I've got a people of God I'm raising up, and they look like you. And they're going to do what I tell them to do when I tell them to do it. And I'm going to be able to talk to them in the tub or in the lawnmower or standing behind a Lucite. There is no tolerance. When I use that term tolerance, I'm using it in the term of microscopic. That's the question. Now you got, who's got the question? Anybody got the one? How did we wind up where we are? That'd be a good paraphrase, wouldn't it? How have we gotten where we have gotten now? Well, I'm going to give you the first answer. And now stand up real quick and say, that's right, brother! Could it be that the church has compromised where the early church did not compromise? That's right, brother! Amen. Sit down. I'm going to talk to you about it now. Listen to this. These are the things he told me while I was dripping wet, talking on this, doing this thing on the computer. Are you ready? When the world told them, speak no more in that name, what was their answer? Lord, that we may speak more boldly and with more opportunity than we've ever had before. When the world tells the church today, you shut up, don't get involved, you can't do this and have a 501(c), you can't do this and continue with the sanctions of the government, what are we going to do? Yeah, we're going to stand up in the Holy Ghost and see a miracle of God, just like they do in the countries that repress Christianity in the open, communistically and oligarchically. We're going to stand. We're going to pray for more boldness. Pray for greater opportunities. Pray for a greater witness so that we can have a testimony that will defeat Satan. The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto the death. Brother, that's what it is to walk with Him. Somehow we've compromised when they never would. When they imprisoned them, they sang. When they were confronted with moral enigma, it didn't take them very long. I timed myself this afternoon. What caused you to lie to the Holy Ghost? That took 3 seconds. That's how long the tolerance was between Simon Peter and Ananias and Sapphira. 3 seconds, my friend. No other tolerance. The early church refused to compromise. And they were unwilling that somebody be in their midst who would lie and steal and cheat and break the unity and the fellowship of the believers. And they were jealous for that which they had. For all of them had that flaming tongue of fire. And they realized that He who baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, we never hear the other side of it. Thank God for the singing of it today. For He said, oh, He comes to baptize you with fire. Yes. Oh, that's Himself. He's a flaming fire, consuming fire. Well, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in each one of these because I realize the time element. I could say the confusion in Corinth was addressed immediately. I could tell you that the book of Romans was written so that the bargaining of the Jews was quieted forever. I'm here to tell you that the book of Hebrews, genealogically, spiritually tied every promise to the people of repentance and holiness. Get the difference. There are those today who are tying all the promises of God to those without repentance and without faith in God and without a holy life. Are you ready for the other one? Let's jump up. You ready? This is the second answer of how we got where we are now. Could it be that the early church responded more rapidly to the call of the Spirit? That's right, brother. Thank you. I want you to look right now to a passage of Scripture over in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter. And I want to look there for the graphicness of it. In verse, I believe it is 26. Let me see what it is. Hang on just a minute. Yes. In the 8th chapter, come, Brother Oliver, get on chapter 8. That's about Philip, you remember. And then we're down here to about verse 26. Are you there yet? Yes. Verse 8, 26. Will somebody get up and read it? Who has the illiteracy? Anybody?
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go forward.
All right, now hold that mind.
Give us the first few words of the 27th chapter. 27th verse.
He arose and went.
Oh, wait a minute. In verse 26, it said what? The angel came out of nowhere. Philip is just standing around, you know, or maybe sitting on his couch watching the local program. Certainly not Oprah. And he is not even thinking about an Ethiopian eunuch. And an angel of the Lord comes and says what?
Arise and go.
Arise and go. That's pretty specific, isn't it? And the next verse says he did what? Please tell me on this side, how long is the distance between verse 26 and verse 27?
The period.
3 seconds. Do you get what this side is trying to teach over here? They're trying to teach us on this side that the early church had a method, a mindset, they had a unity of spirit that whenever the Holy Ghost or an angel or God Himself, Jesus, came to them and said, do this, they went immediately and did that. Everybody wants to be like Philip, who flipped away over to Azotus by a miracle, and nobody wants to be obedient like he was immediately. Sorry to be so graphic. Pretty good for a guy that last year about this time was laying dying. The Lord raised him up. Simon Peter was wallowing in his bias, and the sheet came down and showed him some stuff to eat he didn't want to eat. Never had eaten before, wasn't going to eat, plan on eating in the future. Until God says, change your mind, change your way, change your culture, change everything about it. Eat this because what I make whole and clean is enough. That's enough. And before very long, you'll hear a knock at your door. Go with those people. And before very long, he woke up. He's still a little bit groggy. He's still saying, God, not monkey meat. You know. And, well, I was eating some in Sri Lanka. But I didn't know it, thank God. Until it was too late. And there came a knock at the door, and it was Cornelius' servant. And what was Peter's response? He went immediately. He didn't waste any time. He didn't try to configure his theology. He didn't try to organize a group of presbyters and come up with an answer about all this. He didn't consult with a prophet to see whether or not the vision was valid or not. Let me tell you something, friend. God is sick and tired of all this waiting. He wants us to be instant in season and out of season. Instant is the word, I believe, that was there. Was that not correct? I don't think he's changed any. Since the last time he said instant, he meant instant. I remember growing up in a household, and my father said, you go out there and you do this. And I didn't go out there and do this. There was hell to pay. And there is hell to pay today. Because Leonard Ravenhill is exactly right. I've heard that old man many a time in my living room saying that only 2% of those who name the name of Jesus have ever had any kind of relationship with Him. Oh, it's time to get a relationship going.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.